This is Maureen Kafkis, the Brain BS Coach, here to tell you about the episode today. So in this episode of the RJ Experiment, we discuss energy healing and the power of sincere and open communications in families and with loved ones. We talk about the chakra systems and specifically how an unbalanced heart chakra can lead to lung ailments and a closed off heart that can impact your relationships and your ability to connect with other people. I also want to remind you that the Brain BS podcast is all about learning how to live consciously. It is not a substitute for getting professional guidance or intervention that's needed for physical and emotional and mental health ailments. So sit back, settle in for episode number 171 of the Brain BS podcast, the RJ Experiment, episode 3. Do you want more out of your life, but not exactly sure what that might be? Are you longing for something but can't quite put your finger on what it is? That is the universe speaking to you, and it is time to listen up. I'm your host, Maureen Kafkis, the Brain BS Coach. I created the Brain BS podcast to help people define what success means to them and show them how to get it. I help you to let go of fear and doubt and prepare your nervous system for success. I show you how to understand your own energy and to trust yourself to make all the decisions. If you are ready to go inward and stop looking outside yourself for all the answers, this is the podcast for you. Now let's get started. Hello and welcome back to the Brain BS podcast. We're here in our second episode of the RJ experiment. Oh, third. Yeah, that's right. I just looked at that. I just uploaded the second one, which is probably why I was thinking that. We're in the third episode of the experiment. And today we're going to talk a little bit about emotional health and related to energy and chakras, but we're not going there yet because we're going to get, we're going to let RJ say hi, and then we're going to get an update from him on a couple of things that we talked about last week. So RJ, hello.
Hello, Maureen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. It was a crazy week, but
crazy how?
Crazy, and you know, the son's car breaks down, and then trying to find him a car, and just, you know, family stuff, kid stuff, you know,
lots of demands on your time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Looking at car Craigslist for cars, yeah. Test driving cars, you know.
So all right. So when we talked about, in our last episode, we talked about relationships, right?
Yes.
And the importance of them. Yes. And so I'm just wondering, like, are you, as you're dealing with your family now and your siblings or whoever, are you keeping in mind the stuff that we talked about? Is it coming up in your mind, or have you compartmentalized like the podcast and what we talk about here just here? Are you able to translate it to areas of your life?
You know, I've shared it with a number of my siblings and sent them copies of the, you know, first podcast. So they're excited. I've just been crazy, and I want to send it out to a group of us. There's, you know, like 16 or 17 of the, you know, siblings and their kids and, you know, so nieces and nephews and everything like that. But just haven't had the chance to, I guess, put down what I want to say before I drop the podcast on them with what I'm doing with my, you know, spiritual, mental, and physical, you know, health. You know, yes, I'm sharing it with the immediate family and local people here, cousins and so forth. So that's been nice.
So, okay, that wasn't actually what I was asking, but that's the question to ask anyway. But so is it weird, like when you talk about like talking to your family about it, you don't know how to explain what you're doing with your spiritual and mental and emotional health? Like, is this all feel weird to you? Like, and beyond, totally fine.
Yes, I mean, it's new for me. I've never done any of that, you know, and some of my sisters have, you know, are more into the, I guess, spiritual side of themselves and look for different ways to better themselves. I've never done that. So yeah, it is kind of, you know, weird to put it out there or expose yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually pretty remarkable for somebody who hasn't ever done it to be willing to come on here and do it so other people can learn from you doing it.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you doing that for the audience. And I'm really happy for you that you're doing it, because I think it's going to be really beneficial for you. And
it is.
Your relationships and getting you more open, sharing things about yourself with your family.
Yes, yes. No, I feel the same way. And, you know, I've been keeping up on my exercise.
Okay.
So number one, you know, getting my at least 30 or more minutes of walking, you know, during the day, exercising more. Went and played pickleball with Brother Patrick.
Yes.
So my first time playing pickleball, which was, you know, it's a strange game.
It's fun. You just have to get used to all the rules in the kitchen and all that, but it becomes like you don't even think about it when you start playing all the time.
It is, you know, and you know, we won our first game, you know, so
tell them who you played.
What's that?
Tell them who you played in your first
game. We played this geriatric couple, should I say. I think they were at least 80 or so. And me and Patrick knew we had it in the bag when you know, the guy went to bend over to pick up the ball and almost fell down. Put it this way, he was moving slower than Patrick.
Oh, that's a little thing to Patrick. I don't know how Pat's going to feel about that one.
But Patrick, either it's his hips or his knees or whatever. Don't blame it that.
Well, just a couple things about pickleball before we move on. First of all, there's plenty of people who are young that are playing it now. It's
oh, yeah. And it was interesting watching people play, you know, on the courts and, you know, how they're moving, and, you know.
Yeah. It's so fun. I had my own little bout of brain BS on the pickleball court yesterday, playing with a group of people that I had. They're all new people to me, but I knew some of them. But the four people that I actually played with yesterday, I had never played with before. And you know, Mondays are not my, like, I don't schedule appointments on Monday and stuff. I keep her pretty chill. And I happened to get partnered with this girl who seemed pretty intense and competitive.
Yeah.
And I was just like, she's like started telling me all this stuff. And like, and I'm like, can we just play and not strategize? And she just looked at me like, what? Like she, so it is kind of with pickleball, it's really fun. You get to meet a lot of people, but then the downside is sometimes you meet a lot of people who aren't like you. And like they're a little bit, so you just have to deal with the, but pickleball is a blast.
Yeah. No, it seems like it is. And I just, you know, have to take the time and, you know, of course, working and then finding the energy to go out and play pickleball. You know, I'm still looking for that after work.
Yes. Well, yeah. So, yeah. And you work from home.
I do work from home. I've been a national sales manager for a company out of Singapore for, I guess, the last 7 years. But I've been working out of my home for 20 plus years, you know, as area or national or territorial sales managers for different companies. I worked for 3M for 20 years. So just different companies.
Okay. And do you, like, throughout the course of your day, how often are you getting up and moving around?
You know, it's, I mean, I try to get up at least, you know, once an hour, even if it's, you know, just to walk around for a couple minutes, look and see what's in the refrigerator. It's the same stuff. Never changes. Get something to drink, you know. But, you know, if I'm sitting here for a couple hours, it's where I'm working on a project or concentrating on something. It's, you know, otherwise I'm up and down.
Okay. Well, also, as I'm sitting here looking at you, I remembered you were going back and forth about the beard and whether you want to keep it or not. And it's still there. So you have a change in terms of the beard.
No, I still got the beard. We'll have to see what happens in 2024.
All right. Well, how about your doctor's appointment? Did you talk to the doctor about the spirometer and the possibility of getting respiratory therapy?
I did talk to her about that. The spirometer, she basically said, I can use that twice a day. And then also, I have another device called a flutter. Again, where it's like a steel ball that, removes mucus from your lungs. And use that twice a day. So a combination of the spirometer and the flutter, four times a day. I haven't started doing that yet. She was showing me how to use it, and it's breathe in and breathe out. It's like, all right, I know how to breathe, but what's the ball going up and down? What am I trying to achieve there? So, I have to mess around with it, and it really didn't come with any instructions in it. It has a little pamphlet or paper, but I didn't see any directions on how to
Well,
use it. So,
if you go on YouTube,
yeah, that's what I was going to do,
there will
go on
be a video.
YouTube.
Just like pickleball, they
Yeah.
have videos of how to use that equipment too. So, all right,
Yes,
well,
yes.
we're going to be following up with you then on the next episode to see if you
Yeah.
actually did that or not.
Yeah. And then the respiratory therapy, she doesn't think that that's, going to benefit me at this time, any respiratory therapy at this time. Just, continue using the spirometer and the flutter and see if that helps. Another gal, you start talking to people and, tell them about your condition. And then, this other gal called out. She goes, "Oh, you got to try this. What was it? John Simpson oil?" Never heard of it, but
Really?
yeah, I think it was
John
John's.
Simpson oil.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down so I can look it up. You
Um,
say you do with that?
well, I mean, she's, big into, and CBD and helping people, but also animals, with those ingredients. So I haven't really looked it up. She was talking about it, and it was interesting. But again, how is that gonna, she says it helps her with her foot, with inflammation in her feet, and so forth. She had another issue with her foot. I can't remember the name of it, but it's all the remedies, that people give to you. Oh, try this, try that, try that. But it's for me, it's like, all right, how am I going to measure the effectiveness of that when I'm on, this OFEV, and then also potentially being on other clinical type testing and so forth. So clinical studies.
Well, you bring up a
So
good point though, because like people all have opinions about
yeah.
how you should treat your illness. How, I mean, really, people have opinions about everything we
Yeah.
do. So whether it's if you're getting a divorce or if you're dating someone new or you're gonna get a new house or everybody wants to come in and tell you, and they like to share their horror stories too. It's the
Yeah.
fun thing with people.
Yeah. Look at my foot. That's gross.
Well, they like it's it's interesting. But okay, so all right, so then you found out. So that's good that you asked the pulmonologist about the respiratory therapy and everything, because you want to be
Yes.
proactive. I'm gonna look up the John Simpson oil. I'm not sure if
Yeah.
she was suggesting you drink the oil or like.
No, it's like a dropper, droplets. So it is something you ingest, but it's a, she said it's, a couple drops in your mouth each day or whatever. So again, I haven't. I just, talked to her last night, so I
I'm
really
not
haven't had.
sure, but it seems like that could be like for mucus.
Yeah, I
That might not be
do.
a good, but I'm gonna look it up in terms of like actually using it for lung stuff.
Yeah, I don't think it's, there for long stuff. There's not many things that, to slow the progression of pulmonary fibrosis, and there's no there's no cure for it, but you know, I'm on the best medication that everyone says that you have to be on, and looking to other studies that might, you know, find other medications.
And you're doing this work.
Pardon?
You have medications, and that's only one part of it. Then you have the emotional and mental part of your
health. Yes.
Because there's always both. So it starts with emotions in your body. Even when it's hereditary, like we discussed last week, you have pulmonary fibrosis in your family, but that doesn't mean everybody's going to get it and it's going to manifest in them. There's different things that, you know, everybody's life is different and their subconscious and unconscious programming is different. And that, so it's the mind-body connection. So you got to take care of your body, but you have to take care of your mind too.
Yes.
But let me go back to what I was talking about when I asked you about at first, and then you were talking about sharing the episode with people, which I always love when you're sharing the episode because then more people get to hear it. Mm-hmm. But I was talking more, are you noticing how you're behaving in your relationships? Are you more aware of how you're interacting with people since we started talking about relationships and this work? Or is it something that you listen to in the podcast episode, but you're not really thinking about it?
You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, really, we just talked, 6 days ago. So, you know, trying to, you know, make that leap. And yes, I'm aware of, I guess, listening to people more when they're talking and not trying to push my views on people. Opening up to, you know, other people. But, you know, my circle is pretty small as far as mainly it's the family and friends and relatives. So it's not, you know, a lot of other people that don't know me, should I say. But yes, you know, trying to, you know, bring them on board, let them know what I'm doing. And that brings up conversations about, you know, how they're doing, how their, you know, health is, mental health. I mean, a lot of my cousins are getting older and, you know, getting the surgeries, the hip surgeries or the knee surgeries or so forth, you know, so struggling with those and trying to stay healthy after the fact.
Yeah, that's true too, because when you're opening up and talking more to people, then you're going to be able to receive what's going on with them. And then they're going to feel like you're taking care of them when you're not like feeling like you have to protect yourself and keep yourself like at a distance, you know, to feel better. But okay, so last week in the episode, we talked about the emotional health and different ways that you can address that, because you've got your doctors, so you definitely have the medical part covered, and you've learned a lot about that. But we talked about, I told you I was going to look up some stuff on chakras.
Yes, okay.
Like, I love all this stuff, and I take care of practitioners that do all this stuff, but I'm not an expert myself. So I actually have a article here, and I'm going to refer to this as we talk, and then get your take on what it says.
Okay. So, what is it? First of all, what's a chakra?
It's going to go. All right. So this is called, the article is A Beginner's Guide to Balancing Your Heart Chakra.
Heart. Okay.
When you have some kind of ailment.
Okay.
That you have with your lungs, it's tied to your heart chakra.
Okay.
Okay. And after listening to the episode, because I just listened to it before I came in to do this episode with you, after listening to the episode and all the things that you've went through and all the loss that you've sustained, it really was like, it really does sound like an imbalance with your heart chakra. So I'm just going to read you a little bit, and then we're going to experiment with how to do this. I have no idea.
Okay.
But this also made me think of you too, because you have fainted a couple times. And you didn't know why, and you didn't get a medical explanation. It wasn't your heart. So this kind of speaks to that too. It says, ever feel as though something is just off? That's exactly how you described it. Both times. So it says you can't figure out what it is. There's nothing physically wrong. And on paper, you're perfectly healthy. Well, you're not perfectly healthy, but your heart is. and you can't quite pinpoint what it is. You're not crazy. Something is off, and it's likely due to an energetic blockage or imbalance in your body. It's actually quite common and can be treated. So today, this is about, we're talking about the chakra system, which is the best way to understand how energy flows within your body.
Okay.
So our universe is made up of energetic vibrations, so it shouldn't be hard to believe that our bodies are also made of a similar energy. The chakra system is a chakra, quote, it's in parentheses, Sanskrit for will, is a circle near the center of the body where energy swirls, gathers, and collects. There are okay. seven chakras within the chakra system. You have the root chakra, the sacral. I'll send you this article too.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so yeah, I found a couple of them actually,
yeah.
Good ones. The root chakra, the sacral, the solar, the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown chakra. So the chakras start at the base of the tailbone, and that's where your root chakra is, and run up the center of the body all the way to the crown, which is the area located just above your head. And each of the chakras have different physical, emotional, and spiritual characteristics that make up who we are. Whether you are consciously aware of their presence or not, when chakras are energetically flowing freely as they should, your body, mind, and spirit will function and heal at its highest potential.
Okay.
So because, you know, you can't see energy.
No.
But you can see evidence of energy, right? Like you see energy in a river.
Yes.
Or you see energy in a fire.
Yes.
Or so like same idea as anything, everything has energy.
Sure.
And so does our bodies.
Yes. And you know, speaking of energy or so forth, it's, you know, even your voice, you know, sends out a waveform. You know, the work I do is for static control packaging in the electronics industry. So, you know, it's that when you touch a doorknob and you feel that shock, that can damage an electronic component. So I sell packaging for that. But that shock that you feel gives off energy, and that energy can be measured. So there are devices that can measure, you know, your voice. You know, it can measure different things as far as an electric static discharge touching a doorknob and you feel that shock, taking off your sweater and you feel see all the sparks in the winter time. All of that is, you know, giving off energy.
Yeah. So everything has energy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this is how imbalances might manifest in even how you can heal them. That's what this article is about. So, and this is about the heart chakra. So it's appropriately located at the heart. It's the fourth chakra. And it's the chakra of love, compassion, and some even say the window into your soul. A balanced heart chakra permits the ability to fall in love, the ability to unconditionally give your true self to another and trust that your heart is safe with them. When imbalanced, some may lose the ability to trust another, lose compassion or passion for oneself and others, or possibly even disconnect entirely from the universe with depression and anxiety. So, what we just said isn't even funny, but the look on RJ's face when like what was just going through your head right there?
Well, I, you know, you had, you know, it's that heart and putting yourself out there, or being hurt, you know, in relationships and you know anything with going through a marriage, going through a divorce. There are things that are done and said that, you know, are detrimental. you know, whether it be to you, whether it be to your children, whether it be, you know, to the other person. And they can't be taken back. You know, you can't change the past or what you said.
But you can reframe it.
You can, reframe it and understand where it came from. And that's, you know, kind of what I've been doing. You know, but I would say, yeah, my heart's closed off.
Yeah. So I was just like, I couldn't help it when I started reading this. I was like, oh my gosh. So, and it's like, what a closed chakra that's shut off. It leads to lung deficiencies.
Yeah.
And heart health imbalances, which you don't have yet.
No, my heart's good. I went and had my heart checked out, all these tests done, and I'm good on my heart.
Yeah. So, okay. So when we talked last week too, we talked about the power of writing letters. Were you inspired to try writing any letters or?
I've been inspired to do it. Have I done it? No. But
I'm not sure that would be inspired to do it if you didn't actually do it.
Well, you know, like I said, it's tough. I mean, you know, it's tough to sit down and, you know, who do you choose first and what do you want to say? And, you know, putting things in writing where, you know, upon death, destroy these letters kind of thing.
No. So you write the letter. You don't have to keep it.
Okay. All right.
You write it to get it out of your system.
Yeah.
And to get everything out of your brain and put it on paper in front of you so you can see why you're feeling about that person the way you were. Yeah. And then you can burn it.
All right.
I forgot to tell you that part. Yeah. No. Some of this stuff I already told my husband though. I'm like, if you ever find stuff that just sounds terrible, it's my brain. Because our brain, I mean, the truth is we can be really mean sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and we have thoughts that are not nice. And everybody has them. People try to hide that they have them, but we all have them. I don't care how nice you seem on the podcast, RJ. You have to have them because I have them.
Yes.
So we all have them. Yeah. So it's like, and the key is that like our brain offers us like over 60,000 thoughts a day, and the majority of them are lies. So we just have to know that when they come up, we have to be able to decide, are we going to buy into this? Or not. We're not going to be able to keep it from coming up. And the more stressed and anxious we get, the more all that crap's going to come up. Yeah. And then it's going to start getting convoluted in our head. And it's going to start making us feel all kinds of uncomfortable emotions because it's like overwhelming. So it's just like, that's when you could take pen to paper and just write it all out and get it out of your head onto paper. And it really makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
It really helps. That's the first thing I go to do is, well, I like walking first, but then writing.
Yeah.
Helps me get, like, figure all that out. Okay, so we'll see on the next episode. If you're, yeah. And is it, so it's just the idea of, is it not knowing what to write or just being afraid if anybody found it?
No, just not knowing what to write, or I'm not a great, you know, writer, should I say. I struggle with, you know, trying to find what I see as the right words, or is it just, you know,
no, it doesn't,
there is no, you made me happy or you made me sad or you made me mad, you made me, you know,
but why,
you know, that's all, what's it,
but then you just write why.
Yes.
Writing the person, like, I'll give you an example. I'm trying to think of someone. I'm trying to think of someone that I would, I don't know. All right. So my dad, I've written letters to my dad because my dad was like really cool and could be really funny, but he could also be a real jerk and he could be a real authoritarian. Yeah. And very strict. And I would get on his nerves because I was loud and I was different than him. So I would like write him a letter and say, you know, I love you, but remember that time that you yelled at me in front of everybody and you singled me out. That really made me feel like shit. And then I did this and that. Like, it, so it's not about writing. You're not writing anything poetic. You're literally writing what's in your head. So you don't have to figure out good words because nobody else is ever going to see it.
Yeah.
You can give these letters to anyone.
Yeah.
They're for you to make peace with the past.
Okay. All right. No, right? I understand a little bit better. You know, it's not going to be judged in any way.
Nobody's ever going to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the only one. I mean, literally, like right after you write it, you can destroy it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. We don't want you to, yeah, and then you can send anybody my way if something happens to y'all. The purpose of the letter is that it's nothing personal, it's just
offering them. Maureen said,
yeah. I mean, that's where it kind of gets into the ego being your brain BS. Yeah. So, that ego is that part of you that is a troublemaker and it always wants to stir something up. Usually it doesn't let us go very long without trying to stir us up and get something going. That's like why so many people can be worried about one thing and it'll go away and they don't have to worry anymore. And they literally just shift their focus to something else and start worrying about that. Because their brains like to worry. They like to be fearful. They like to create doubt and make us question things that make us feel less confident, that keep us closed off because they think they're keeping us safe. And they don't like when we do new things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So this whole thing that you're doing, and even pickleball.
Yeah.
Is like, it took me a long time to play pickleball. It's silly, but it's like, I don't know why, because I kept wanting to, but I was afraid to because I didn't know how to play. I didn't know who I was going to play with. I didn't know how the other people were going to be. Cause like whenever you have doubles and that kind of stuff, it's sort of like, you know, scary. So I was apprehensive, but, and I put it off. Like I talked about it for a long time. I did the same thing with paddleboarding before that. So I'm waiting to see what the next thing, if I actually will just freaking do it.
Do it. Yeah. Jump out of an airplane.
I did that. I did that when I turned, I did, believe it or not, I did that when I turned 30. In an attempt not to feel old.
Yeah.
That I was older at 30. Isn't that the craziest thing? Oh my gosh. It just killed me. All right, wait. Let's get
my
back.
My pulmonologist said I can't jump out of an airplane and I can't go deep sea diving.
Oh darn.
With the lung pressure. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So this says there's endless reasons why one chakra may become blocked or imbalanced. However, the main culprits are tied to our daily stressors, work relationships, diet, and exercising or lack thereof. But we don't need to worry about that with you now because you're walking at least 30 minutes a day.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to ask you this question again. I asked the last time and you were talking about the physical benefits, but does it feel good to be taking care of yourself better?
Yes, it does. I mean, you know, yes, to answer your question, getting up and just even if I'm, you know, talking on the phone, you know, I'll get up and walk around, you know, walk around the house, you know, and I'm just moving or trying to, you know, get more steps in. You know, as I'm doing something mundane as talking on the phone.
Mm-hmm. And is it, does it, like, doesn't it feel good, like, to love yourself a little bit more and to actually be taking care of your body?
Yeah, I guess so.
Gotta pull these emotions out of you, don't I? Yeah. Just want to focus on that physical part of it.
Yes, you are.
But I mean, really though, that is like the biggest way to show yourself love is by taking care of your body and your mind.
My mind. So, you know, it's, you know, trying to do all of that. And sometimes it could be overwhelming, you know, trying to, you know, do the body, do the mind, do the spirit, do the, you know, nutrition. You know, I eat pretty good, you know, but, I need to eat more vegetables and salads and stuff. I know that.
Yeah. And are you doing it?
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, try to eat. I had a good dinner yesterday. So I had chicken and scalloped potatoes and corn and salad. And so,
okay.
you know, so yeah, I'm trying to eat better. But, you know, I mean, I have my standard breakfast, my standard lunch. And, you know, the dinner is, you know, my bigger meal out of the day. And then what I've tried to do is not snack after dinner. You know, I've been real conscious about that because I can see, you know, I have a Freestyle Libre that monitors my blood sugar, you know, since I'm a diabetic. So I can see where the spikes come in, and it's, you know, snacking after dinner. You know, and then my blood sugar will spike from, you know, a normal range up to above 200, you know, when I'm going to bed and sleeping, and then come down again. But so I'm more conscious of not eating the junk food after dinner. And if I do eat something, it's, you know, usually some vegetables or something like that, some carrots or, you know, broccoli or tomatoes or something more healthier than the chips and salsa.
Yeah.
even though I love the chips and salsa.
I don't eat after dinner either because I do the intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
So not so, I mean, I less on weekends, but like during the week, I make sure that at least 4 days I have 4 days where for 16 hours I don't eat. So that's like after so it's after dinner, like six, I'll eat dinner at six or whatever. And then yeah. I won't have my bar. I have a bar in the mornings. I won't have a bar until 10 a.m. Wow. So I'm really in the habit of not snacking at night. So, but my husband's going to reach for something. Like he's just like, that's raisins or almonds or whatever. Yeah. So I do think late night snacking is pretty common for a lot of people.
Yes. And that, but you know, I can, you know, looking at it with your blood sugar levels, you can definitely tell what causes it to fluctuate and to peak and, you know, or stay steady, you know, or not increase as dramatic. You know, having a good dinner at, you know, 7 o'clock, and then by the time you're in bed, it's down to, you know, below 120, which, you know, where I'm trying to be at.
Yeah. All right. So, all right, let's see. Of course. Oh, and it says, of course, genetics and the overall health constitution that you are born with may also play a key component to your chakra health. So that's what we were talking about before, like the energy of generations
and your
genetics, but it's not just your, it's like energy too.
Yeah.
So it says, as an example, think about a time your trust was violated or a time when you were so scared that you could feel your heart beating in your chest. It's very likely the energetic flow of your heart chakra was changed or even blocked by this moment. And the energetic shift is what makes these types of situations so difficult to move past and heal from. So like those times in your life where things are really, so it could be like when you learned that not to bring up something sad and not trying to make you emotional, but when you brought up about Philip asking for you.
Yes.
And how that really impacted you. So that can impact, that can actually make a shift to your heart chakra.
Yeah. Or, and, you know, or finding out about the pulmonary fibrosis or that you have a life, you know, it's just like, you know, when people tell you those things, it's like, I'm not ready for that.
Right. Yeah. It's scary.
Especially when you're laying in a hospital bed.
Yeah. And then, and all your experiences with loved ones who have been in the hospital who have died.
Yes.
Right. So it feels like a lot of that's coming up for you. And then like in going towards the past and reconnecting with people and really connecting with your family and making sure. But I do have to laugh because you said you just have like a small inner circle. And I'm like, well, you are on the podcast now. I mean, I don't have like a ton of listeners, but you are past your inner circle right now.
Podcast. I'm good with that. Okay, I'm trying to be brave.
You are being brave. Okay, so it talks about how acupuncture.
You know, I've been thinking about acupuncture, but I, you know.
Okay, RJ, this is what I'm talking about. The fact that I brought it up and we're talking about it here, and you said you've been thinking about it, these are the kind of things that will lead to you healing and prolonging your life. That's your intuition bringing up acupuncture, and then your brain's probably offering you all kinds of reasons why, maybe. But when you learn something new, this is just my observation in the couple of sessions we've done this, you like to take a little time with it before you actually act on it.
Yes.
Yeah. But when your intuition is telling you to do things, like honestly, my intuition was telling me to play pickleball. And I've made so many friends in the last couple of years playing pickleball. It's like, and it's helped with networking, meeting people. It's just, and just making me happy. So if there's something that's coming up and you get it repeatedly, then it means that you should do it.
And I mean, I even looked up, you know, acupuncture near me, and there's a gal, you know, a mile up the road that's, you know, does it, you know, so.
Will you do it?
I will. Yes. I'll, cause I've been having a pain in my back, my shoulder. I'm going, you know, how does acupuncture really help you heal or make you, you know, reduce the pain and, you know, between your shoulder blades and, you know, how that affects, you know, your physical health, right?
Well, I'm wondering what chakra that is, because I think that's your heart. That's the back of the heart chakra, right?
Between your shoulder blades. Yeah, I guess your heart is between your shoulder blades.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. And then Reiki?
What?
Have you ever considered Reiki?
I don't know what Reiki is.
Really? Okay.
Reiki is going and cleaning the yard for me.
It does for Reiki. I've done Reiki. It's actually kind of started me on the whole. I started because of my back.
And it's really spell bad. It out. Spell it out.
R-E-I-K-I.
R-E-I.
He sent you an episode because I had somebody who is a Reiki practitioner on the podcast. And she actually talks about it.
All right. So
I'm going to send it to you and you can listen to that episode.
That'd be great. Tomorrow morning's walk.
Yes. Okay. So when it comes to, but tomorrow morning is our podcast episode too. So you might have to listen to
that one
first. Okay. So when it comes to balancing any chakra, Reiki is really good. It's an ancient form of energy healing. Specifically, a Reiki practitioner has been trained to connect and feel the energetic vibrations of the chakra system. Once the practitioner senses which chakras are blocked or not flowing as they should, they then use themselves as a conduit between the universe's potent energy supply and the patient in order to restore balance. So it can be hands-on, or they can just be a little distance from your body, but they even do Reiki over Zoom.
Okay.
You can actually do Reiki over Zoom. But Reiki has been really beneficial. When I first went to Reiki, I would just like cry, right? Like I cried a lot when I would meditate, all of it, because from years of squashing stuff down and not really making uncomfortable emotions and sadness. I think sadness was a really prevalent emotion that I had in me before I did this work. Sometimes it could come up as anger or resentment, but really at the bottom of all of it was more sadness. A lot of that came from my brain BS too. So it was like thinking things happened that really didn't, perceiving things in a way that made me more a victim than the empowered person that I am now. So it's like all ties together. And I love things like Reiki and acupuncture because it kind of brings the two worlds together. It's that mind-body connection. So it's not just physical and it's not just like woo stuff. It's like the two of them combined, which I think is really powerful.
Yeah. Interesting. I've never heard of it.
And yoga is something that they talk about, or yoga poses is a good way to open up your heart And then they talk about breath work, but I don't think I would do breath work for you with your pulmonary fibrosis. I think the doctor would say that that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
But instead of doing the breath work like what they do here, you could use your spirometer.
Yes, yes. And I try to do, breathe. My watch has a, breathing mechanism where, breathe in, breathe out. So, I do that, at least once a day, for, 5 minutes, but, it just open up the lungs, try to, see what happens. Can't hurt, right?
So I can't wait to hear about this when you go to the acupuncturist.
Okay.
Because I want to see what she says about your energy.
My chakras.
Yeah. I want to see what she says.
Okay.
And also tell her a little bit about this work you're doing too.
Yeah.
That she understands that you're like new at this and you're interested in it, and see what else that she can offer you. But okay, so this is almost as good as you walking every day for 30 minutes. You're going to try acupuncture.
I am. I will. Make a phone call and set up an appointment.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll be before next Wednesday.
If it's not, it doesn't have to be. So after you listen to the Reiki episode,
yeah,
maybe you can be open to the possibility of trying something like that too.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. And in the month of, I think it was February. I'm not sure. I think I sent it. Did I send them to you? Or it might have been someone else. The different modalities that I've tried, because I used to have really bad low back pain. For decades I had it. And I tried everything. Because I did everything from a medical standpoint, because I was an occupational therapist that worked in the hospital, and I knew all the exercises and the different things that I should be doing for my back. And that was always a primary focus. I would be struggling in my relationships because I wasn't being honest and authentic. And I was majorly people pleasing and not making myself a priority. Never even entertained the possibility that that was really what was causing my back pain. I was like, well, it has to be physical because I've had it for so long. And I used to lift heavy trays. And
yeah,
I started out doing all the therapy. Got this hands-on specialist that was really good, but I could not get rid of this back pain. And then all of a sudden one day when I was going to do something and it started to hurt again, my mind said, what if it's not going to make it worse? It's going to make it better if you keep doing this. And I had so much fear that I was going to make things worse, that I was holding back.
Yeah.
And making all my, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to be like when I'm 60 or 70 or 80 if I'm like this now, like all the bullshit that comes up, making it so much worse. But then I had that shift. So then I started working more towards the physical part, but then I tried a thing called angel therapy. I've done everything. I've done raw emotion code. I've done all of it. And I am virtually I have no back pain. It's completely gone. So yeah. I am a living testament that you can have pain or some kind of issue for a really long time and you can make it go away. And it is a combination of dealing with the mind and the body. You can't just deal with one.
No. And I, like I said, I've always thought maybe acupuncture would help in alleviating the pain in my back. And it's, I always contributed to sitting in front of a computer and using your mouse because, it's my right arm and, that shoulder and the shoulder blade and, that muscle connected, through your spine and into your shoulder blade that's causing the pain or where the pain center is, I guess.
All right. Well, okay. So we're getting nearing the end here, but okay. So here's what I'm going to suggest for you for next week. And then you decide if you want to do it or not. So the emotional piece of your health ailments, you're the only person that can address them.
Yes.
Nobody else can. You can't go to, you can go to Reiki and you can go to acupuncture and help with that. But the single best thing you could do is I don't know if you like music. Do you like music?
Yeah.
Okay. So calming music, go sit down in a room. And get out a pen and paper and start working on those letters. And then when all the emotions come up as you're writing those letters, and they will, like, feel them.
Yeah.
Even if you're sobbing, like that, because that's, you have a bunch of trapped emotions in your body.
Yeah.
And the only way they can get out of you is by either screaming or crying or acting out or something. So, you know, see what, because everybody has anger.
Yes.
Anger has definitely become my friend, where I used to think that it was unladylike and I shouldn't. It's always what gets me to do what I have to do. So, like, really start tapping into your emotions and trying to feel them.
Okay.
Okay. And even if you get mad or what, you know, go get a pillow and punch it or whatever you have to do. But do the letters and try the acupuncture. And then I'll send you the episode for the Reiki.
Perfect.
And then I'll look into John Simpson oil. But I would be open to all of it. Is anything coming up in your mind that you, I don't care what it is, if it's related to dating, eating, whatever, has anything else been coming up in your mind that you are thinking about doing, but you just keep setting it aside?
No.
Okay.
Nothing, you know, besides the acupuncture, you know, acupuncture and chiropractic, you know, chiropractor. You know, is it, do I need, you know, the acupuncture will alleviate the pain, or is it more of a skeletal issue and chiropractic would help?
You or know, maybe so, you need both.
Yeah, or I need more than a lot, both.
I would go with the acupuncture first, though, so that we can see impact that it has and stuff. So isn't it kind of fun to experiment with these different things that you, or is it overwhelming, or is it weird, or what is it?
No, I think it's, you know, I mean, if I take it slow, and yes, you'll have to forgive me. You know, I do take things a little bit slower.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with taking them slow.
You know, and yeah, I'll make an excuse that, you know, I was really busy and, you know, but I mean, you know, this medication I'm on, this OFEV, does make me tired. You know, that's one of the side effects, but thank God I don't have some of the other side effects that, you know, they claim that come with it. You know, yeah, I mean, I feel that, you know, I'm tired in the morning, just waking up. I'm already tired.
Well, I know. So, I mean, you do have an illness.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to pace yourself, and you have to, for our experiment, we have 5 sessions here. So I'm kind of moving things along.
Yeah.
I also think that that's like the beauty of coaching. You don't, like, therapists can drag things out for a very long time, and sometimes they have to, but, like, we don't have to do that. So I think I'm forming this idea in my head now that I'm going to be taking notes on everything that we've done and all the things I recommend. So I can just give you at the end, like, an outline of everything that we covered and the different things that you can try.
So
that, and then you can come back to that. And you're in the Brain BS community now.
I am.
We can talk about things in there too. And you could go in there and ask any questions and follow up with things. And then you'll learn about a lot of other stuff in there too, because there will be other people coming in there to teach things that are
beneficial. Awesome.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Any final thoughts for today?
No, looking forward to the experimenting with acupuncture.
All right. And the letters.
And the letters, yes.
And burning them when you're done.
Shredding. Yeah, burning.
Or tearing, ripping them up.
Yeah.
Or cutting them, whatever feels the most empowering. And, like, really think about it when you do it. There's also a thing called cutting, cord cutting.
Yeah.
And that's like tying, that's like cutting emotions with the past and stuff. I don't know how to do that, but I'm going to look into that. But this is kind of similar idea. Like, when you do it with, like, okay, and then forgive yourself for everything you did.
Yeah.
You know, try to forgive the other person for everything they did. And then try to just, like, literally, like, offer to the universe, I just want to put this at rest and I want to move on to the future. And then get rid of it. And then it's gone. And do it for whoever you feel like you need to do it for.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right.
All right. Perfect.
All right. Thanks for being here for episode number 3 of the RJ Experiment.
Thanks, Maureen. We'll talk to you next week.
Audience, I know you learned something valuable here today. I'll see you next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the Brain BS podcast. I hope you really learned something here today that can be helpful and that you can apply to your own life. If you find it useful, I would appreciate it if you gave me a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts and shared the podcast with everyone you know so that I can reach more people and help them to learn how to live consciously and live the life they really want. If you'd like to be on the podcast, you can email me at mkcoachllc@gmail.com or message me on Facebook. Until the next time.